Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A pleasant good evening to you and yours, and welcome in to the Willie P. Experience. So Willie P. in the building, or whatever we're calling this show these days. On the Mighty Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and as always on the radio.com app via your smart speakers and smartphones, I am yours truly, Willie P. Will Pelagic, here with you on this Tuesday evening that turns into a Wednesday morning in the A, and it's once again a pleasure and privilege to be coming to you live from the makeshift Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, not unlike our humble and great setup that we have at Colony Square, but this is obviously a much different scenario with us, of course, having to broadcast from home a couple of blocks away, not too far down the street from where my colleague Mike Bell was broadcasting with that very nice block that he or very nice walk to work that he always brags about. We've got a lot to get to today. My buddy Nick Wilson is going to join me from WFNZ, our sister station in Charlotte. We talked a little bit earlier today about the official release of Cam Newton, what that means for the Panthers, what that means for the division as a whole, as it seems like one team is rebuilding while the other three are going for it. Yet, if the Panthers are rebuilding, they're doing it in a very convoluted type of way. Gia Thomas is going to join me. You know her from the coverage of the SB Nation site that's affiliated with the Atlanta Falcons, the Falcoholic. She is still a contributor for the Falcoholic, but has done more stuff on the league-wide circuit as well. We'll talk about things involving the Falcons, the rest of the division, and the league. Coming up at about 12:20. Your comments and questions and contributions always accepted at 404-741-0929. That is how you can get in touch with me, Willie P. I am, of course, on Twitter at Willie P. Style. That's IEP Style. And the radio station is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 929 The Game. You'll also find out over the course of this show today why the movie Dirty Dancing fits into the sports world. And no, I'm not going to break down the dance moves of Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey, although Jennifer Grey plays a prominent part in a sports-related bit that we're going to ask you about later. And that is something that I want you to be thinking of, and that is, who is your sports equivalent of Jennifer Grey, a.k.a. that one-hit wonder? The only reason I didn't use that term is because I think that term is very cliched, but the one athlete who had a singular moment that rose above everything else that they did in their career that dwarfed anything in their largely rather insignificant rest of their career. Who was that definitive player for you? Could be an Atlanta sports figure. A lot of people say Sid Bream. Could be somebody else. We'll take those submissions not only on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, but also on Twitter. Before we get to what's happening, as I've been kind of doing over the course of the couple of days that I've been on the air with you, I've been kind of having you take my temperature and taking the temperature of the room. And, you know, as I was walking, I had to get out of the house for a little bit while keeping social distance. You know, I was, as I have been doing and as we continue to urge you to do, support the local businesses that are in your area. We've got a great website set up, Love Local Atlanta, 929thegame.com/Love Local Atlanta. Wherever you are in the metro area, whether it's downtown, whether it's Midtown, Buckhead, Alpharetta, Cumming, East Atlanta, Fourth Ward, wherever you might be, there is a business in your area that is still in action right now and needing your help when it comes to support, takeout, delivery. You know, we know people who have been laid off from these businesses, and you know, anything that can keep them afloat so that when we get back to whatever is normal for us on the other side of the coronavirus epidemic, you are able to keep those people in business so that a lot of those people will either, you know, get themselves back to square, or those who are still fortunate enough to be working have at least some sort of income. But not every place is open. I can tell you that significantly. There's a lot of places I walked past that had signs on them. The general tenor of a lot of people is morose. Talked to a lot of people today that have, you know, kind of, I don't want to say have lost hope, but there's a lot of panic, and there are people who are basically citizens of what is now a panic city right now, wherever they might be living in terms of this, because we don't see an end in sight. We don't see a particular day that we can point out and say, okay, this is the day that we have to get back, despite whatever you might be reading in the newspaper or hearing from whatever news media which you consume. But I was contemplating a quote earlier today, and that is, courage is grace under fire. Now, we use that term a lot to actually describe our sports figures in ways, you know, people who undergo some type of adversity, whether it's an injury, whether it's a deficit of some sort, you know, a 3-1 lead in a series, if you will, or real adversity, such as something involving their family or pain or things of that nature. We're all kind of going through that right now in one way, shape, or another, whether it's monetary, whether it's in your extended family, somebody's affected, whether it's somebody in your immediate family, whether it's you yourself. The one thing that I will try to tell you and impart onto you this day in terms of a knowledge and some sort of what I would call the closest thing to wisdom is try to, as very best as you can, make the next day differentiate from the one previous. I saw somebody put forth the meme today that looked like the Spider-Man meme that had 7 different ones that represented all 7 days of the week. That's not healthy. Consuming news media en masse and contributing to a panicked state is not healthy. Vary your activities. Whatever you are able to do work-wise, have that escape that goes along with it. We try to do that for you and provide you that escape here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And most importantly, it's hard to maintain a positive attitude, but try to do something in a day that makes you smile. Because the more and more that you do that, the more and more it won't feel like such an albatross around our shoulders with social distancing and all the things that have come along with it over the course of the last couple of days. And if you need to reach out, my DMs are open at Willie P Style. The Salmon Brothers Diamond text line is open. I've been responding to that. I've heard from a lot of you over the course of this past week that are struggling one way or another. And I hope that you all know that we will get through this, and we will get through this together, and we'll be all better for it on the other side of it. Here's what's happening.
Peter, what's happening?
So the National Football League has joined many others when it comes to the sports leagues in the quote-unquote stay-at-home initiative. A lot of NFL facilities were already closed, including the Falcons' Flowery Branch outfit. But Roger Goodell sent a memo to clubs tonight saying that all club facilities closing at 6 p.m. tomorrow, with limited exceptions per sources, the league will reassess come April the 8th. It's about a 2-week period, with advice from experts. So NFL teams, like many others, will stay at home. There's also some consternation now inside the league with its GMs and the owners, a disconnect between those two portions of the NFL collective that have a disagreement with regards to the NFL draft going as proceeding in the late April window. Of course, we know it's not going to be in Las Vegas anymore. It looks like there's going to be some sort of third-party studio set up between the NFL Network and ESPN that allows the draft to still go forth as scheduled, but in a much more remote type situation when it comes almost basically that resembles the drafts in the 70s and 80s where people were on telephones and doing so from a much longer distance than, say, in one singular location. But the GMs have cited not only the difficulties involving evaluation, the difficulties involving getting physicals and evaluations of that sort, and all the other disadvantages that have come our way with this new normal with coronavirus, that it doesn't seem prudent to them to hold the draft on time. But there, of course, is the desire from the NFL to try and own something in a very vacant market when it is basically NASCAR iRacing, the WWE, and Marble Racing, and that's it. The NFL wants to get that big number, whether you find it to be disingenuous, whether you find it to be something that you like, because I know a lot of us are very starved for attention right now. One way or the other, the NFL is not going to give up that kitty. And so you're dealing with that particular fight coming to the forefront. Mentioned earlier, we're going to talk to Nick Wilson coming up in about 11 minutes' time. A lot of what we talk about is the release of Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers quarterback, officially released today by the team. This was something that was very poorly handled, to put it very lightly, with the organization already signing Teddy Bridgewater and making it known that Cam would seek a trade on his own and try to find another suitor. This is basically a lesson in how not to GM by Marty Herney. You don't tell people that you want to trade somebody in such a fashion like you do and then sign a quarterback. That takes away all your leverage. And because of that, they could not find any particular suitable nature to have Cam Newton on another team. You would have even thinking that maybe take a compensatory draft pick in exchange for that. But instead, they release him, being able to get nothing in return for him. And so now Cam Newton is on the block, as is Jameis Winston, as is Jadeveon Clowney. Three former number one overall picks are still on the market, able to be signed by anybody, with nothing else going in between except money. Of course, Cam Newton did take a physical today in Atlanta, something that was coordinated actually by the Panthers and Cam's agency team. He appeared to pass it with flying colors, but there are still some skeptics out there regarding his health. Tom Brady had his first press availability with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was done via teleconference. We'll share a little bit of that with you in the Ground and Pound about an hour from right now. He had some comments that were glowing about the New England Patriots, but also a very interesting situation about his comments regarding how he fits with Bruce Arians' offense and the unique challenges he'll have with a new team that, of course, will play the Falcons twice inside the NFC South. Speaking of those who are oft injured, someone who has been oft injured throughout his Major League Baseball career, another one bites the dust for the New York Mets. Noah Syndergaard will undergo Tommy John surgery after a UCL tear suffered during spring training and missed the entire 2020 season. That's good news for the Braves, because if there was any hope that they would be a contender in the NL East outside of the defending champion Nationals, many looked at the Mets as a bullish choice because of their strong pitching and resurgent hitting. That pitching takes a significant hit today with Syndergaard on the shelf, not only for all of this year, but likely to miss the start of the 2021 campaign. This story has taken a turn for the positive, but it didn't always look that way. Earlier today, Trevor Lawrence took to Instagram, the Clemson quarterback, and said that he and his girlfriend had set up a GoFundMe page to try and raise money for those struggling with the coronavirus. Primitive as it was, it got up to about $2,600 in funds before catching the attention of Clemson Compliance. And Clemson Compliance, citing NCAA compliance rules, said, no, this is not something that we really want to see you do, because it might jeopardize your eligibility because of name, image, and likeness restrictions and the inability to profit off such. Of course, those things are being talked about right now at the NCAA-wide level about trying to find a way to compensate name, image, and likeness for student-athletes. This was a very bad look for the NCAA initially, because it looked like the NCAA was trying to pull the plug on something philanthropic that Trevor Lawrence was doing just out of the goodness of his heart. But as a result, they did come back and say, you know what, we are going to waive the name, image, and likeness moniker that's attached to these things and allow athletes to use their own individual discretion for a charitable function to raise money for coronavirus victims. So initially, I was going to sit here and rip the NCAA to shreds, but apparently they're able to start this back up under a new phase and allow them to raise money to help coronavirus victims. And as we told you last night, it was coming. Dick Pound, the IOC member that had spoken out and gotten ahead of a lot of people's comments about the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, saying that they were bound to be postponed, well, that word became official earlier today. The postponement of the Olympics is now something that is a reality. They will not play until at least 2021. Will not be later than the summer of 2021, but that seems to be the most feasible outcome right now, as it had nothing really to do with the climate of July 2020 inside Japan. It had more to do with the fact that the climate now prohibits the ability for those to train. You know, Canada had said that they were not going to send athletes. Australia was saying the same thing, that they were threatening not to do so. The U.S. was going to send athletes, but because of the fact that they had multiple entities saying that they would support the postponement, there was enough pressure on the IOC to make that a reality. Again, 404-741-0929 is hanging in touch with me, Willie P., on Twitter at Willie P. Style and at 929 The Game on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. How did they get this so wrong? Man who covers the Carolina Panthers on a daily basis for our sister station, WFNZ in Charlotte, Nick Wilson from the Midday Show, Wilson and Parcell on WFNZ, joins me next. Willie P. is in the building to discuss what's going on with the Carolina Panthers, our division rival of sorts. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and wherever you might be on the radio.com app by your smart speakers and smartphones. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and let's head to the waitforward.com hotline. WFNZ host Nick Wilson, our sister station in Charlotte. He hosts the midday show Wilson and Parcell, heard from 10 until 2 weekdays on WFNZ in Charlotte, talking about all things going on inside the NFC South, particularly with the Carolina Panthers. Connecting via Skype, Nick, how things going? Thank you so much for taking some time.
Well, a little bit of Skype, a little bit of chaos in Carolina. I think it's perfect for a Nick and Willie P mashup here.
Although you could have put a shirt on for me. I mean, seriously, on the video portion of this, all I see is your bare chest with all that hair. I mean, that really wasn't something I needed to see right now.
Oh, the no chest was for you, buddy. I thought you would want no shirt. Now I'm embarrassed.
Are we hashing this out on the air? Is that what we're doing right now? That seems it seems passe.
This is for the people, and you know, again, out there, bare chested. I'm what people would call a bad body. But I'll tell you this: for the 1% out of here that like this, this is all your jam right now. I'll just mental imagery. It's all for that 1%.
Well, so far as you know, you have no idea whether I'm wearing pants or not. So now we're even. So there you go.
Well, now we're talking.
So today in Carolina, things have been a little crazy with you guys. The Cam Newton era officially ends. What's the mood there in Charlotte when it comes to no more Cam juice?
Well, listen, the idea of moving on from Cam in the first place was already a little bit incendiary. It was already going to be something that there is a certain segment of fans who would not have accepted this move regardless. But I think by and large, from a football perspective, I would say more than half of Panther fans understood the reasoning behind moving on from him. The problem is you can't divorce it from that fact. You can't divorce the football from the way the Panthers have handled it, which is bad. I mean, you know, Dave Tepper in February fumbled a question about Cam Newton's future. Matt Rhule overcorrected for it. And then when you go to finally move on from the guy this last Tuesday and announce you're going to move on from him and try and trade him, one, it felt with as much passion and thought out as like a note to a doctor. It was completely sterile. It was kind of heartless, kind of thoughtless, their goodbye to Cam. And then 90 minutes later, the reports came out that they were signing Teddy Bridgewater. So I think people are objecting as much to how Cam has been treated on the way out as they are to the football idea of getting rid of Cam Newton.
I know that I'm not necessarily surprised I didn't get nothing for him, not in as much as the fact that you don't really know what Cam's going to bring you to the table, but they gave up all their leverage by telegraphing his departure from Charlotte.
Oh my God. I mean, and not just that. Before that, you know, Dave Tepper had an opportunity at the end of February that I've referenced here where he could have come out and said, Cam's our quarterback. We're just waiting on him to get healthy. Instead, he went into this bizarre who's on first bit about I'm not a doctor, Cam's not a doctor. What's a doctor? When's a doctor? He went full Seuss. He went Seussian in terms of his explanation of this. And so from that moment, on, the Panthers compromised their positioning with Cam. And listen, some of this, to give them a slight benefit of the doubt, the fact that, you know, it's almost impossible right now for players to take physicals because of the situation we have as a country, that's factored in a big way. But if you're basically, when the Panthers decided to sign Teddy Bridgewater, they chose that over waiting out the Cam Newton market. Had they waited into June when he was 100% healthy, or had they even waited into camp or into the regular season, they would have eventually gotten something for Cam, even if it was just a compensatory pick next offseason, a third round pick. However, they didn't do that. They chose signing Teddy Bridgewater over getting meaningful compensation for Cam.
Nick Wilson, WFNZ, the Midday Show, Wilson and Parcell, which is heard on our sister station, WFNZ, on the radio.com app, which you can find, as well as you can find this program, me, Willie P, here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we broadcast here with you on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Was it more of a priority for the Panthers to get Bridgewater? Because to me, it seems like, you know, this whole thing looks like a rebuild, smells like a rebuild, it's a rebuild. Did they even need Teddy Bridgewater at this point?
Now you're talking something that's a bit of a sore spot for me. No, they didn't really need him. And I get it, right? There have been conflicting reports about mixed views in the Panthers, whether they need a rebuild or not. They don't really have a choice. This roster is top three or four with all the attrition they faced of veterans leaving over the last 3 years. This roster looks to me to be a three-win roster. And signing Teddy Bridgewater, though he makes sense in the scheme of Joe Brady, having come from New Orleans where Joe Brady earned his keep in the NFL, though he is still young and, you know, he has some upside, it didn't really make any sense to me. I thought if you're going to lose Cam, if you're going to have the least popular offseason in Panthers history, why not go ahead and just stick the landing? And the only way you can really come out of this offseason feeling better is if you go into next offseason, you know, having the keys to Trevor Lawrence. So I thought, listen, overall, you know, 3 years, $60 million, $33 million guaranteed. It's middle of the road money for a quarterback. This isn't about Teddy. It's about the situation the Panthers are in. If, let's say, Teddy Bridgewater means two extra wins next year, that's probably taken you from two wins to four wins. So you've gotten no closer to actually winning, and you've gotten no closer to Trevor Lawrence, who Trevor Lawrence in Carolina would be what Andrew Luck and Cam Newton were supposed to be a decade ago. That's a generational quarterback that you could have a long run on, considering, you know, the youngest other quarterback in the NFC South is Matt Ryan, who's 35, 36 years old.
Certainly so. And that leads me to my next question, which I think is the $64,000 question. What in God's name are they actually doing?
I know.
That's what it sounds like.
This has been such a frustrating offseason. I felt like if you watched the way Cam Newton in this offseason, the way they handled him, it feels like the organization is caught between three things. One is Dave Tepper, their owner, his very real desire to put his stamp on the football operations and to take his step into the future. And I think that in some ways competes with Matt Rhule, who is trying to put his stamp on an NFL program. He's been very successful in college building programs, hasn't done in the NFL. And then that has rubbed edges and caused friction with Marty Herney, who's on a one-year deal. And basically, he's just trying to keep his job going forward, as it's not as if he's going to get another opportunity to be a GM after this. So I think these three power figures, as they've tried to figure out how to work with each other, I think it's come off uneven in the wash in how things have actually transpired. So what I think they're doing is, I think they understand they had 12 free agents that they could lose this offseason, and they had no way to replace them all. I think they know that this offseason should be about building a team that has a limited scenario of positive outcomes for next year because of what we just talked about. And I think this is about setting Matt Rhule up to have year one struggles, but the payoff will be being able to have some suitable building blocks and starting ground for him going to year two. We think that's what's happening, but you know, the Teddy Bridgewater move runs contrary to that. I still don't think they're in total alignment between Rule and Tepper and Marty Herney about what is best for this roster going forward. I think it's easy. I think you just run this thing into the ditch this year. You come out next year with Trevor Lawrence. I know it's never that simple, but I think that's the simplest way to plan for this offseason.
Nick Wilson of Wilson Parcell, the Midday Show on our sister station, WFNZ, joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is your 30,000-foot observational viewpoint of what's happened in the rest of the division? Obviously, here in Atlanta, there have been some improvements made. Tampa Bay gets Tom Brady, and New Orleans reloads with Emmanuel Sanders, Malcolm Jenkins, and some other pieces as well.
I mean, I like what Atlanta's done because it's a quiet offseason, but a necessary one. They've added a lot of former first rounders. They've taken a lot of flyers on guys. And quite frankly, I think what you saw was the real Atlanta Falcons showed up over the last half of the season. So I think if you have a few of those guys that you've taken flyers on work out, I think this roster, while it's in transition, can still be competitive in a very chock full, a loaded NFC. The New Orleans Saints, I mean, listen, they're still the best team in the division right now. That's just the reality, unless all of a sudden Papa Drew Brees just Father Time wallops him all at once. The Tampa Bay thing, man, I'll be honest with you. The defense was good at stopping the run last year. They weren't great at getting after the quarterback or in pass, but they were good. So, like, the defense, there's some building blocks there. I am a firm believer in Bruce Arians, but, man, I'm skeptical. Everybody's focusing on the skill positions around Tom Brady. They also have an offensive line that was not great last year. It was middle of the road at best, at bottom of the NFL in some categories. And then, you know what the other thing is? Tom Brady's 43. Like, this idea that we're just expecting Tom Brady at 43 to leave the only stability that he's ever known for a franchise who, by and large, in their history, outside of a few blips, has been awful. The worst franchise in the NFL meets the best player in NFL history. And, oh, by the way, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, they are on the opposite side of the spectrums in what they've liked to do in their career, what Brady's been asked to do, and what Bruce Arians has asked his quarterbacks to do. I'm not telling you that they're going to go 4-12, but it would not surprise me if Tom Brady showed his age in a major way and that was an 8-8 team. I think people are so high on getting rid of Jameis Winston because you can't be as bad as Jameis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're saying that about a 43-year-old quarterback who's coming off his worst season, regardless of who he was throwing to around him.
You sit here as somebody who hailed from the city of Cleveland, and you have the audacity to call Tampa Bay the worst franchise in all of football. I mean, I know that Cleveland had Jim Brown, but at least Tampa's got a Super Bowl.
Sir, what I'm saying is actuarially correct. I'm speaking facts to truth here. or facts to power, I don't know. But no, they have the worst winning percentage of all franchises in NFL history. And I would like you to know, though Tampa Bay has a Super Bowl win, the Cleveland Browns have multiple, nay, this side of 10 NFL championships. Don't count, sir.
They do. They certainly do. How many Bojangles boxes are in your – discarded Bojangles boxes are in your house right now, over under 2.5?
Well, they're actually in my truck.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife, she loves her some Bojangles. She doesn't let it get me doesn't let me get it for us every day. So I get it on the way to work every day with a Cajun filet biscuit combo, medium-sized bow rounds, and a large sweet tea. Thank you very much. So in my truck, all, and I mean all, boxes of bow rounds.
I miss you, buddy. I hope you and yours are handling this as safely as you possibly can. Hope things are going well for you guys in Charlotte. I know that different stations across the country are handling things very differently. We've been doing our shows from home. I know you might be having to do that here pretty soon, but Godspeed, my friend. Be safe.
Best to you, Willie P. Best to everybody out in Atlanta. You know, I have said this earlier today. I'll continue saying this. I'm focusing on the great people doing great things in the midst of this pandemic. I don't care about the hoarders. I don't care about, you know, people losing their mind. I care about the doctors doing their jobs, the nurses doing brave work, people who have to work. You know, we get the opportunity to work from home here, buddy. People just get who still have to go and do their job, the essential people here. So those are the people I'm rocking with. I'm rocking with people like you and all the good people of Atlanta. We appreciate it, buddy.
That's WFNZ's Nick Wilson joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We're coming to you, of course, from the Kia Studios and also on the radio.com app and all smart speakers and smartphones. We'll come back and tell you about a bit that I came up with while watching the movie Dirty Dancing earlier today. What connection, pray tell, does that movie have to sports? I'll tell you next. Willie P. is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app on all smart speakers and smartphones.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before.
So I come by this honestly, folks. This is not necessarily my favorite movie. As Willie P. continues in the building, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and 92.9thegame.com, wherever you might be on our smart speakers and smartphones. But whenever this particular movie comes on and you're around the end of this movie, this is the scene that you watch. This is the only scene that's the really important part of the movie. Like, it's the only thing that's worth a damn in this movie. I can tell you that honestly, as someone who's had to sit through this whole thing under a previous administration. I'll let you draw your own conclusions there. So, yes, I've taken the bullet, I've bit the bullet, I've watched this movie. But again, this is the only scene that's worth it. And so, and not only that, but Jennifer Grey, in that scene, does not look any better in that scene at any point in her entire life, even in that movie, even the rest of that movie. She doesn't look any better in the rest of her life than in that scene, dancing with Patrick Swayze. So that allowed my brain to kind of start percolating and, you know, going through some different thoughts. Some appropriate for air, others not. But I thought, who is the sports equivalent of Jennifer Grey? Who is the one athlete who you look at and you say, okay, this one person has a moment so singularly great that it dwarfs the utter insignificance of the rest of their career. Before you hit me with the fact that Jennifer Grey was in Red Dawn and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, she did not play either of those roles to critical acclaim, so don't even hit me with that right now. So who is the sports equivalent? And again, I hated to use the term one-hit wonder because I don't really find that to be an apt comparison, and I also find that phrase to be totally cliched and very old-school sports talk radio. So who is the sports equivalent of Jennifer Grey? I had a bunch of responses from Abe Gordon, who, of course, is the producer of The Morning Show with John and Hugh, who you will hear coming up about, 5 hours and 50 minutes from right now here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Willie P. Style. That's IEP Style on Twitter. And on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. A lot of people from the Atlanta-centric portion said Sid Bream. Now, the only beef I have with Sid Bream is that while his slide produced a pennant, you fell short in the ultimate title. So that'd be the only thing that'd be the disqualifying entity against him. If someone was going to pass him up on the hierarchy, at least nationwide, it would be somebody doing something in, say, a championship or a World Series or a Super Bowl or something like that. So that the first name that came to me, and I hate to say this only because I'm not necessarily somebody who likes the New York Giants, but the fact that it happened against the New England Patriots didn't hurt my feelings any, was David Tyree. David Tyree's catch was something that happened by the most anonymous sports figure you could have possibly had happen to. Someone who you would never have heard of. There were probably a lot of Giant fans who didn't even know that guy's name before that Super Bowl. He makes that catch over the middle, hands to ball to helmet. One of the most remarkable catches in Super Bowl history. and it sets up a game-winning touchdown to Plaxico Burress later on in the drive. That, to me, if you're looking for the definitive answer, there's one. A couple of others, Luis Gonzalez game-winning hit off Mariano Rivera in the World Series against the Yankees. Someone said the Zinedine Zidane headbutt. Zinedine Zidane was a legendary football player, and by football I mean the beautiful game of football, not necessarily American football, but a great soccer player overseas. But he became forever defined by that headbutt that occurred in the World Cup. So that was more infamy in that regard. My man Paul Crane, who I haven't seen in way too long, our weekend update man and also reporter extraordinaire for 99 The Game, goes with Bucky Bleepin' Dent because he's a Yankee fan. And he's somebody who, again, from relative anonymity, really was not really somebody who you would look at and say was even a household name among his own fan base. He hits the home run off Mike Torres in the playoff game against the Boston Red Sox, gives the Yankees that particular title there, and they go on forward from there. But that's one where you look at that and you say, okay, that's kind of where we're looking at, somebody who'd be a different guy from that regard. A couple people said Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler is somebody who, again, I think was made famous by that moment, but someone also who has profited off of that. I don't know if necessarily his career is relatively obscure compared to guys like Tyree and Bucky Dent. And I think that Butler is looked at as somebody who has a sizable career in the league. There was the guy, Jackson from Tampa Bay, who had the pick six in the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay against New Orleans against Indianapolis, I should say, that won them that Super Bowl. That was obviously one that you look at and say could possibly be that. Larry Brown, Super Bowl 30 MVP, kind of a similar situation. One of the few defensive players to win the MVP in the Super Bowl. Someone also said Don Larson, only perfect game pitched in the World Series. Did win the MVP in that World Series, but a largely insignificant career outside of that. Did win a lot of games, but not necessarily one that if you look at him and you say, oh my goodness, you think of his career right away. Some of the others, again, that you look at as the one-hit wonders, the Jennifer Grays, Ray Allen is one. Odell, the one-hand catch. That's one that's brought up from the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Someone said Peyton Hillis. Now, I think you maybe could say he was a one-season wonder. Ray Allen was not a one-hit wonder. Ray Allen was a Hall of Famer. Like, that's, we're talking obscure. We're talking somebody, again, who would look at that and say, oh my goodness, that person did bupkis in the rest of his career. Like we're talking somebody who had a great moment on the stage of the greatest that you could ever have play the game, and then did nothing else. Again, I hate to bring up another New York observation just because, again, I have a lot of followers from New York, but someone said Stephon Matteau. Someone said Stephon Matteau, who scored a game-winning goal for the Rangers in 1994 that got them to the Stanley Cup Final in overtime beating the New Jersey Devils. A lot of people are saying Ray Allen. Ray Allen's a Hall of Famer. Ray Allen has more three-pointers than anybody else in NBA history. Ray Allen is not an obscure player. I understand that. I understand you the moment that he had in the finals, of course. But Ray Allen is not a one-hit wonder. I understand that was the one that got him a championship, but Ray Allen's a big player. Ray Allen is just somebody who found himself in career situations that did not lend themselves to titles. When he finally put himself on the Boston Celtics, he was able to finally get some running mates. So because of that, you see you see him put in a position to actually succeed. Now, again, somebody, again, who's a Hall of Famer. Again, the obscurity part is, I think, the one thing that people are looking at and saying. But if there was an Atlanta representative, I would say Sid Bream is that guy. Tim Dwight was brought up as well, of course, in Falcons lore. Had himself a pretty significant moment in Falcons history. Someone said Morton Anderson. Again, Morton's a Hall of Famer. Again, that's, again, one of those things, a Hall of Famer. Marshawn Lynch is one that is brought up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line. And again, I think Lynch's infamy
more resorts for what did not happen with regard to not running the football on the Malcolm Butler play, as opposed to them throwing the football. Butler intercepts the pass. And I also saw a lot of that commentary going on from people throughout the day today, because there was something one of the politicians said that one of the bills involving the coronavirus is at the 2-yard line. And a lot of people were saying, this time actually give the ball to Marshawn Lynch instead of throwing it. Again, not trying to get into politics. I found that those particular references very funny and somewhat apt when you're thinking about whenever you think about something being on the 2-yard line, that's the one thing that we always think of when it comes to, you know, choosing to throw it as opposed to pass it. Nick Foles is one that's interesting, because Nick Foles is someone who was able to make a lot of money in Jacksonville off of a playoff run. He didn't really have a singular moment other than maybe the Philly special. But even after that, you know, you think about what he did for that franchise, getting them that elusive Super Bowl. And because of that, he has a very complicated, he'll never have to buy a drink in the city of Philadelphia ever again. That obviously is something that, you know, he'll be lauded in Philadelphia lore. But again, I also wonder, you know, what will his legacy be? Because again, a lot of that regular season, you know, Carson Wentz was the quarterback. He took over much of the way through and then helped the playoff run. Francisco Cabrera is obviously the person who got the base hit on the Sid Bream slide. C-Double from Winder talks about that. Philip Umber, with his perfect game for Minnesota, is one that's brought up too on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. William Refrigerator Perry. Now, that's an interesting one, because he is somebody who, as coming out of Clemson, you know, he was lauded as a defensive stud, like an absolute defensive stud. But all anybody remembers him doing is scoring touchdowns as a running back for the 85 Bears. That's part of it. That's very much part of it. And that's a very, very good pull from, I believe that is Texter from the 470. Rex Grossman was one that was brought up. I don't know. I would need more help on Rex Grossman's great moment. There was one that was brought up in the college level. Chris Davis, the defensive back from Auburn, on the kick six. You know, Auburn's going to win the football game. They ran the missed field goal back. That's one that was brought up. Again, we're looking for the one-hit wonder, your favorite one-hit wonder when it comes to the statute of sports. You know, we were comparing that to Jennifer Gray. Texas from the 770. Oh, Willie, how about Tebow? Still hate him, LOL. Are you asking me if I still hate Tebow? Yes, I do. I have no love for Tim Tebow, for reasons that are very complicated and staunch and well chronicled, and for another bit, because I don't want to go into that rabbit hole, because that'd take me an hour. But just, you know, I just find his whole persona a tad disingenuous. That's just my thought on him. I think that he comes by it, you know, somewhat honestly, although I do believe a lot of it's manufactured. But no, I will not give Tim Tebow or grant him the serenity there because of that. Another person on the Tallman Brothers Diamond text line says Herb Brooks. Again, Herb Brooks is somebody who, in hockey lore, was looked at as a mad scientist genius. If you know the story behind him, he was cut from the 60 Olympic team, the one that won the gold medal before the 1980 team did, the last one to have won the gold medal. But then he was tasked in the late 70s to put together that ragtag group that won in Lake Placid. I could say Herb Brooks, although again, the singular moment in that Stanley Cup doesn't belong to Herb Brooks, but it belongs to Mike Ruzioni. And I think that would qualify as the somewhat Jennifer Gray-esque moment, Mike Ruzioni's goal that gave them the victory at 10 minutes to play in the third period against the Soviet Union in the gold medal semifinal game, or the medal round semifinal game there. But some good stuff. We'll bring this back a little bit later on in the program. Your sports Jennifer Gray, if you will. 404-741-0929 and the course on Twitter at Willie P Style. We will come back and next hit you with an NFL ground and pound. You'll hear what Tom Brady had to say about his upcoming challenge in Tampa Bay and what he finally said in passing and in parting words to his time-honored New England Patriots. Comes your way next. Lily P's in the building. Hope you're enjoying yourself on a Tuesday that turns to Wednesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and wherever you might be on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.